The City Hall of Walden on Signal Mountain is packed with over 40 people on this Tuesday night. Everyone has seen the flyers around town that read, "Community meeting to discuss coyote problem."
We actually see them in our yard all the time.
Tiffany Crawford lives in Walden on a few acres of land. She became concerned about the coyotes when one of her cats went missing.
We have three young children, and they're coming closer and closer to our house, so we were just concerned.
In the past, coyotes were primarily an animal of the western United States. However, in the late 60s and early 70s, the animal made its way to West Tennessee, eventually traveling further east. Today, coyotes are regularly found in states such as Massachusetts and New York. And not just in rural areas, either. The coyote has become an urban animal as well. Last November, a pair of coyotes was spotted outside Wrigley Field in Chicago. Before the discussion starts here at the City Hall, there's a show of hands by people whose pets have gone missing.
I want a show of hands of how many people have lost a pet inexplicably in this audience.
Half of the crowd raises its hand. It's a spooky moment inside Walden City Hall. The discussion is led by coyote enthusiast Jeremy Hooper, who works at the Chattanooga Arboretum and Nature Center. Hooper's bombarded with questions from the audience. How does one keep a coyote from his or her property? What does the animal eat? Are they a threat to humans? Are bounties effective?
And the idea of this is to get in touch with as many people in Chattanooga and teach them about coyotes and teach them what is a threat from a coyote, what is not a threat, and how to decrease conflict, because there are ways to decrease conflict.
Jeremy Hooper's interest in coyote research has led him to graduate studies on the animal, and he's produced a coyote sighting survey for residents in Chattanooga. Hooper says he sometimes gets a response to the survey multiple days in a row.
So if we can learn to live with the ones that we have around us and train them, that could lead to a better situation. You got to ask yourself, why is a coyote using my property? Is he benefiting from it? If he is, I need to decrease those benefits.
He says coyotes are only looking for three things: food, water, and shelter. Most likely, the animal is coming around your home because there's an access to food. Coyotes are attracted to trash bins, compost piles, carrion, dog food, even fruit from fallen trees.
We can clean those things up if necessary. But furthermore, if you're feeding something else that's wildlife, maybe you're feeding, unintentionally or intentionally, maybe you're feeding other wildlife, say rodents or raccoons or something. Well, if you bring in the prey item, the predator's probably not far behind.
However, if these problems of food availability aren't addressed, there's a good chance that coyote sightings may become more noticeable.
It seemed to explain what people were seeing, which was perceived increases in numbers of coyotes in the streets, seeing them where they didn't used to, and feeling that they were all around and very abundant.
That's Dr. Numi Mitchell, one of the researchers behind the Narragansett Bay Coyote Study in Rhode Island, which linked food resources to coyote population in the state. So what exactly were the residents of, Rhode Island? What were they doing with these food resources?
It depended on the part of the island. But the island is an interesting place because it's sort of a microcosm of the nation, because it has rural areas, it has farm areas and urban areas and suburban areas, etc.
In Rhode Island, road-killed white-tailed deer and dead livestock were producing tons and tons of meat for coyotes in the area.
But then you get the urban areas, which have a completely different effect. You aren't dealing with the huge quantities of food necessarily, but you're dealing with people that leave pet food out or feed urban cats, feral cats.
Dr. Mitchell also says the problem's twofold. With more access to food, the coyotes produce more puppies. And then the animal begins associating food resources with people. That's how the coyote becomes habituated to humans.
They will be more visible in the communities because they're not worried about people. And this is when folks start to get alarmed, in my experience. It's the behavioral issues that really start to freak out urban residents and suburban residents.
Although there are only two known fatal coyote attacks ever recorded, coyotes are a rabies vector species, and Dr. Mitchell says that's incompatible with an urban existence.
Some solutions simply can't be solved by managing the food resources once you have a coyote that's a problem animal, a problem individual, I should say. We need to have our coyotes nervous.
How does one make a coyote nervous? Multiple studies have shown that hazing works. Yelling, waving your arms, and making yourself appear aggressive can make a coyote fear humans.
The idea is you want to make the coyote feel unwelcome and have some sort of fear of us. If a coyote sees you and you don't do anything, you just stare at him, you don't make any noises, you don't yell, you don't throw anything, then he may start to see you as, you know, nothing to worry about. So maybe he's more likely to come up closer to you now. Maybe not you, but closer to your house. Make them fear that area, associated as something to be, you know, nervous about.
In July, the state of Utah began their predator control program, which allows hunters to kill coyote for a $50 incentive or bounty. But according to John Shivick of Utah's Division of Wildlife Resources, the system wasn't created because of out-of-control coyotes. Instead, to possibly help the deer mule population in the state.
So the intent there was to stimulate people to remove coyotes from the field in order to help mule deer populations in the state because coyotes eat deer fawns. And so we've implemented that program over the last several months.
Was Utah seeing a drastic mule deer population, like, lowering?
Actually, no. In the last few years, our population is more or less stable statewide. And it's one of those typical things where there are pockets of places where the fondo ratios are a little lower and other units where they're a little higher. One of the things about predator control, you know, it depends if predators are actually limiting them. If people can remove all the coyotes they want, and if we have a really harsh winter, the deer are still going to die. So it's a more complicated do A then B happens sort of thing.
Places like Isle of Wight County in Virginia are also debating a coyote bounty system because of their supposed nuisance animal status. But even lethal bounties are shown to be ineffective for coyote population. According to studies, 70% of all coyotes would need to be removed annually for suppression. And research has also shown that when the animal is killed in large numbers, living coyotes will produce more puppies. They're a flexible predator.
I think we just have to work with a very resourceful animal. And the easiest way to work with that animal is not to manage them through killing them, because it's futile. They respond very well and rapidly increase their numbers. It's much easier to manage ourselves.
And educating people about the coyote is exactly what Jeremy Hooper of Chattanooga is trying to do here at the Walden City Hall.
These things are very effective, though. And talk to me, call me at the Nature Center, and let me come out and see your house, and let's go over these things. I would love to help as much as possible.
And teach people these hazing techniques or these non-lethal methods so that we're all on the same page. Because if we're not, if one neighbor's cleaning their house up with food and the other's not, it doesn't necessarily do us a whole lot of good.
Jeremy later tells me the only way the problem can be fixed is through a community effort in understanding the coyote. For WUTC, I'm Garrett Crowe.